you want, just dial up toll-free to 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Julia.
And we invite you to our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com.
RepublicMagazine.tv. Are you missing the real news? Get informed and stay informed with Republic Magazine. Get your free digital copy now or order a print subscription at www.republicmagazine.tv. That's republicmagazine.tv or call 1-800-873-1620. That's 1-800-873-1620.
As we continue here, we will take your phone calls about anything. That's the point of the program. But there's a little more news here about the police, and it's something that we'd also mentioned last night, didn't get to. The story is out of Time magazine, where David Hackbart was mad and wanted to show it, but didn't think he would end up in federal court protecting his right to a rude gesture and demanding that the city of Pittsburgh stop violating the First Amendment rights of its residents. Hackbart, 34, was looking for a parking space in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood on April 10th of 2006. Spotting one, he attempted to back into it, but the driver of the car behind him refused to back up and give him sufficient room. Hackbart responded in the classic way. I stuck my hand out the window and gave him the finger to say, "Hey, jerk, thanks." Have you ever done that, Julia? Have you ever flipped anyone the bird on the road?
Sure. Well, I've got some serious road rage.
Do you really?
Sometimes I get really irritated when people drive stupid.
Well, that's what was happening here, and Hackbart was pretty upset about it. He said, "That's all I was trying to say is thanks. Thanks a lot." At that moment, a voice rang out, telling Hackbart not to make the rude gesture in public. So I was like, how dare that person tell me that? They obviously didn't see what happened. Who are they to tell me what to say? So I flipped that person off. And then I looked. Turns out it was a City of Pittsburgh cop in his car right next to me. Turned out to be Police Sergeant Brian Elledge, who happened to be passing in the other direction in his cruiser. Elledge whipped around and pulled Hackbart over, citing him under the state's disorderly conduct law, which bans obscene language and gestures. And here's where the problem lies, according to the ACLU's legal director, Vic Walzak. The middle finger and equivalent swear words are not legally obscene. In fact, courts have consistently ruled that foul language is constitutionally protected form of expression. A famous 1971 Supreme Court case upheld the right of a young man to enter the L.A. County Courthouse wearing a jacket emblazoned with the words F, you know the rest, the draft. Now, the law is clear that people have the constitutional right to use profanity, especially when it comes to government officials, because that's a form of political speech, according to Walzak. But despite that, we have police officers regularly misapplying the law to punish people who offend them. And that's really what it comes down to. The U.S. District Judge David Sircone ruled in March that the citation, along with $119.75 court costs imposed by the city court, was clearly unconstitutional. So this is one of the rarities where the courts actually make a positive decision, where they actually make a decision that that backs up freedom a little bit. Of course, it's usually one step forward, two steps back, but it's nice to point out when they do the right thing from time to time. And in this case, they did do the right thing. The ACLU said it found 188 cases from 2005 to 2007 in which people were cited under similar circumstances, despite an entry into the police department's training manual making it clear that vulgar speech is not illegal. But what will their punishment be? What will happen to a police officer who goes and arrests you? If Julia flips off somebody tomorrow and she's arrested for it under disorderly conduct charge or ticketed for it, what will happen to that cop if later on down the road the judge in some superior court or a Supreme Court decides to overturn it? Well, I can tell you they're not going to get fired like the story we read last hour where they assaulted an old lady with pepper spray. That was enough to get a cop fired in one case down in Louisiana. But making an arrest or ticketing somebody illegally, they'll just maybe get a slap on the hand. They'll maybe get a stern talking to from their police chief. But there's not going to be any real consequences. So they can still be intimidating. They can still They can still pull you over. They can still harass you. They can still ticket you. If it all gets turned over down the line, there's no real consequences for them. They don't get a cut in pay. They don't get demoted. There's nothing that will happen. Now, the question was set to go to trial in federal court last week, but the matter was delayed at the last moment while the two sides explored a settlement. The city's law department declined to comment on the case. The problem's not confined to Pittsburgh. In 2007, a woman in Scranton, Pennsylvania, was cited for yelling obscenities at an overflowing toilet in her home, which I think we actually talked about that on the show, a tirade overheard by her neighbor, an off-duty police officer. She was later acquitted on constitutional grounds, and the city paid her $19,000 in a settlement. We probably handle a dozen of these cases every year, says Walczak. We're actually negotiating with the state police now, trying to force them to change their training and written materials to make it clear that you can't do this. Now, it is, of course, part of a larger question. The recent controversy over the arrest of historian Henry Gates Jr., who was charged with disorderly conduct in his home after police arrived to investigate an erroneous report of a burglary in progress, was cast in racial terms, a white officer distrusting a black homeowner. But Walczak says this issue seems to have more to do with a police officer being confronted by an angry and disrespectful person and turning disorderly conduct laws into a contempt of cop law, as he puts it. Now, judges get away with this crap all the time, right? I mean, anything you do in a courtroom that a judge doesn't like, he can hit you with a contempt of court charge, and that's fully legal. And the judge has the power to do that. I know. I've been a victim of it. I didn't sit down fast enough in a courtroom here in Keene, New Hampshire last year and was hit with a 30-day contempt of court charge. And then when I didn't answer a question in the way the judge wanted me to answer it later, he hit me with another contempt of court charge. So I'm sure the cops relish that level of power and the cops want to have that level of power over people. But the fact is, the rest of the world isn't the courtroom of the cops. They aren't in full and complete control, thankfully, at least not at this point. And they have been slapped down by their own courts. According to Walczak, he says, frankly, I think having someone dropping the F-bomb is better than taking a swipe at the police officer. But what we're seeing too often is that police who are offended by a lack of respect, often manifested by profanity or cursing, will punish people for that. You know what I'd like to say to the police, those of you who are listening? And I know there are some good cops out there. I know there are cops that are trying to do the right thing and that got into the business for the right reasons. But if you want people to respect you, you have to act in a respectful manner. And being respectful doesn't include threatening peaceful people. It doesn't include arresting people for possession of a plant or possession of some chemical or something like that. Being respectful means leaving people alone that haven't harmed other people. Until the police start doing that, until the police start to get a clue about how to be respectful toward others, and I'm not saying all cops are like this. Some of them are very nice people. But until those who are disrespectful and those who do have a power trip mindset and are just on a constant rush of authority, until they get a clue and start treating people with respect, they're not going to get it back. People are going to call them names. They're going to call them pigs. They're going to hate them. And I don't blame them for being angry. I don't blame people for being upset at the police because they're busy throwing our friends and our family members, many of us, in jail cells.
You know what I don't like about most police officers is when they walk around in their police uniform, they really, most of them or a lot of them, they have this attitude that's like, I'm better than you, petty citizen. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember one time I think I was in the district court in Keene, New Hampshire, and I was just waiting for you to come out from doing something or something of the sort. And there was this female cop in there, and she was expressionless, and she looked like the most boring, horrible, just like unfriendly person. And I smiled at her because I knew that she wasn't going to smile back. And mm-hmm. She finally like noticed my smile after me just sitting there with this silly grin on my face. And she did the really fake, like, quick smile and then went back to being straight-faced. And I feel like I could never go up to a cop in the street and talk to them because they seem so unfriendly.
Cold.
Yeah. I mean, what's your deal?
Off-putting.
You're supposed to be the helping people and all that stuff, I guess, whatever their job title says.
Yeah, you don't want to approach somebody that looks intimidated.
Right.
800-259-9231, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Some of them get it. Some cops are pretty approachable, pretty nice people. But I definitely see where you're coming from. More on the way here, 800-259-9231. So flipping the bird to a cop, fully legal, say the courts. This is Ian. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? You should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearms training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapon permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time. You and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes. And the Millionaire Patriot is paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapon permit for pennies on the dollar and get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun. Again, that's frontsight.com.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's DIGANET.net. DIGANET.net. Diginet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting eCigarettesNational.com. That's the letter E, CigarettesNational.com. eCigarettesNational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
Bring up whatever you want by dialing the toll-free number at 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. Tonight is Ian with you.
And Julia.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Features including the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send us their photo or video that proves that they listen to the show. You can see what I mean by going to shrine.freetalklive.com. That, again, is shrine.freetalklive.com. We will continue taking your phone calls here in one moment. Just a few more thoughts on the story from Time Magazine about the police and the flipping the bird. Somebody was arrested, and this is not the only time it's happened. There's a kind of a glut of these cases over time throughout history in America, where you'll do something that a police officer considers offensive, and because he's offended, he'll go ahead and arrest you for it. Well, a federal appeals court has essentially found in favor of the person who flipped the cop the bird. And that's great news, because it means that you should be able to say something nasty or do something with your hands that is uncouth when it comes to a police officer.
Well, they certainly can do that to you if they felt like it.
If they wanted to flip you the bird? Sure.
There'd be nothing you could do about it.
Well, yeah, you certainly can't arrest them. So the court did find that it was legal to do that, that it was a First Amendment thing, and that the police need to be more professional in how they handle things. The police should be staying cool. The police should be, cooler heads should be prevailing in these situations. They should set the example. They should remain cool as the other person is getting all bent out of shape instead of getting bent out of shape themselves. But, of course, many of them are hotheads. Many of them are badge heavies. Many of them are people that got into the business so they could wield power and essentially get away with it. They could harm people. I mean, we've got another story, I don't know if we'll have time to get to it, about a cop that shot a man in the back in L.A. 3 times. Of course, he'll likely get away with that murder because he's a cop. But at least in this case, the court rulings have stated that it's legal. Now, that's not going to prevent you from getting arrested because, well, first of all, even if the cops have gotten the memo that doing that is illegal, it won't necessarily prevent them from arresting you. There's no statute to charge you with flipping someone off. It's usually disorderly conduct or some other catch-all thing that they're going to hit you with. But I just wanted to read a quote to wrap this up here from the police themselves, at least one of the officers, the director of the Fraternal Order of Police, and what he has to say about this. It says here, he says that police officers have better things to do than give people citations. Oh, really? Well, why are they pulling people over for speeding then, if they've got better things to do than give people citations? Isn't that what a speeding ticket is? Isn't a speeding ticket a citation? It's essentially in lieu of actually arresting someone. A citation is basically they give you a piece of paper, but you've essentially been arrested even though they haven't put you in handcuffs because you're then under their control. After they've cited you, they give you a court date and they say you better show up. And if you don't show up, you get charged with failure to appear. So once they give you that citation, you're essentially even more theirs at that point than you were before the citation. So he says that they've got better things to do than give people citations. And if people are doing things to distract police officers from doing those things, then they should be held accountable in some way.
Distract?
Yeah.
You're suggesting that while driving, giving the cop the finger is distracting him?
Right, as though the cop can't resist pulling you over at that point. As though the cop just can't go about his business and go to whatever call he was going to take care of that person who might have actually been in danger. They just have to stop. They just have to stop and deal with somebody who's flipped them off. Well, no, they don't. And this goes back to a point I was trying to make on the radio a couple days ago. I was on a local talk show here in Keene, and you can hear the archives over at freekeene.com. But we were talking about the topless arrest that happened recently here in Keene, which was later on overturned. The police department actually admitted later that they shouldn't have done it. They admitted that it's completely legal for females and males, both alike, to be topless in Keene, New Hampshire. In fact, across New Hampshire, they admitted that it was completely legal. You know, maybe it's the same way in your state, but in many cases, the laws haven't been challenged. And that was one of the reasons why they didn't go through with the prosecution, was because they didn't want Cassidy, the young lady in question, to take it to the Supreme Court and possibly have the entire indecent exposure statute overturned on appeal. The cops actually admitted that's why they didn't go through with it. They know how flawed that particular piece of legislation is, and they were worried that they'd lose the entire thing should they have gone after Cassidy. So they dropped the charges. But what the talk show host the point he was trying to make with me was that, well, why are you free staters and you activists out there doing these things so the police have to arrest you? I mean, why are you out there getting in the way like this? And my point was, they don't have to do this stuff. They don't have to arrest you. They can use discretion. It says it right there in their statement of ethics, the police department mission, their value statement. It says they have discretion when it comes to enforcing the law. And what that means is that they can choose to enforce it or not. So the excuse, if a cop ever gives you the excuse that you hear so often, the excuse of, well, I'm just doing my job. You know, I'm just, hey, don't take it up with me. Take it up with the legislators. They're the ones that told me to do this. They're the ones. You voted for them, which I didn't, by the way, but that's what they say. You voted for them. They voted for these laws. I'm just enforcing the law. But it's your job, officer, to use discretion. So why don't you? And then they do, of course. I mean, many officers do use discretion, and thank goodness for it. You know, there are plenty of officers out there that instead of arresting somebody for marijuana will just maybe dump out the marijuana and let them go on their way. Sure, it's not the best thing that could happen, but it's also not the worst thing.
I've had cops give me seatbelt tickets instead of other tickets to try to make me feel good about them giving me a ticket so that, because it's cheaper, you know?
Yeah,
so
that's a discretionary example, but giving a warning would be a better example of discretion.
I've had warnings before.
Right. So they don't have to write the ticket. They don't have to investigate. They don't have to do anything. So don't act like it's the activist's fault for what the police do. It's a cop-out. And don't act like it's this guy's fault who flipped the bird because this cop decided to pull over and spend his time, which is supposedly so valuable, even though there are plenty of cops out there that just spend their time dicking around, essentially not doing anything, and then occasionally will get a call and go and do something. If you call the cops, they don't even have an obligation to show up. I know some cops will. A lot of cops are, again, trying to do the right thing. I'm not trying to assail all police officers here. I'm just saying that this is nonsense. This whole idea that, well, you've distracted a police officer, so you should be punished. Well, why don't you teach your officers to be a little bit more on point, to be a little bit more focused in what it is they're supposed to be doing? Oh, is that person over there flipping me the bird harming anyone? Have they created a victim? Well, if not, and I don't see any evidence that they have, therefore I'm not going to investigate this incident. I'll go find something else to do, like investigate a murder or a rape or an arson or something like that. We go to your phone calls. We'll start things out with Dave in Nevada. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, what's going on?
What's on your mind tonight, Dave?
Hey, I was just listening to the podcast. I think it was from last night. You were talking to Dale. I guess he was working on Jason Osborne's movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying that... still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay, I'm getting all kinds of weird interference in my head. Sorry about that.
Okay, we'll tell you what. We'll bring you back here in a little moment. Hang on. 800-259-9231. Independent films. I was talking with Dale about making them and how you distribute them and all that. We'll see what Dave has to add to this here. Moments, and take your calls about anything. This is Free Talk Live, 1-800-259-9231.
When looking at your personal preparedness level, remember the freeze-dry guy. During times of physical and emotional stress like the uncertain times we live in today, it is vital that you not alter your diet too much. You should only store what you usually eat because one day you may have to eat only what you have stored. Lucky for you, there's the freeze-dry guy. Featuring the superior nutrition and taste you've come to expect, the freeze-dry guy has a wide variety of choices in freeze-dried foods. All freeze-dried foods are no-cook products requiring only hot water and a few minutes of your time. The freeze-dry guy has been serving various government agencies as well as the private sector with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. Consider the technological advances made in computers from the punch card days of the 60s and 70s to the high-speed personal computers of today. Comparably, the advances made in food storage from the World War II era till now are equally great. Visit the website at www.freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you suffer from arthritis, aches, or pains, RxMagnets.com has the answer you've been looking for. RxMagnets.com carries three amazing products that can help relieve the pain that you live with each day. The liquid magnet complex will boost energy and mental clarity, help relieve headaches, psoriasis, itching, inflammation, and even toothaches. The Magnetic Care Cream helps relieve sprains, bruises, acne, insect bites, liver spots, scars, and stretch marks. The RX Magnets help aid in sleep, relieves arthritis pain, and sinus congestion. Whatever your ailment, be sure to visit RxMagnets.com for more information and to see which product will work best for you. With over 30 years of experience, these specially designed patented products are developed with the highest quality materials and are backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxMagnets.com today. That's RxMagnets.com, RxMagnets.com, or call 866-528-1481. That's 866-528-1481 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything and you can take control of the airwaves. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Julia.
And we invite you to our website at freetalklive.com. Get signed up for the updates. We'll keep you in the loop whenever there's something that you need to know about Free Talk Live. You can just go to updates.freetalklive.com. Get on the list for free. That's updates.freetalklive.com.
Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30 state concealed weapons permits and get a free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today.
That's frontsight.com. As we go to your phone calls and back to Dave in Nevada. Dave, you're back on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, so talking about indie films, I guess you were wondering, like, basically how you get into the whole distribution and all that stuff.
Yeah, it seems tricky. I mean, what we were talking with Dale about from AnarchyInYourHead.com is that they were out with the guys from SACL CAI, Jason Osborne and his crew, have been putting together movies at Think Twice Productions. And they filmed the movie. They've got themselves a feature-length film. I'm sure they still have some editing to do and some post-production. So they're going to have the final product, and he was talking about shopping it around to distributors and that there's a huge demand for these horror movies. It was a zombie movie, kind of an independent, low-budget horror movie. And it's just a world I'm not very familiar with. I mean, how difficult is it to shop something like that around, and how much money can one expect to make?
Okay, well, it happens to be a world I am pretty familiar with because I used to, when I lived in L.A., I did sound for indie features and indie shorts and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On the post-production side, and having the finished product is definitely very, very helpful. One of the first things to do is just start submitting it to festivals like crazy, film festivals, and see what kind of response you get from there. And, you know, if you get positive response, an indie feature I did a couple years ago was listed as one of the top five indie features at Cannes. And from there, that's how the guy got distribution. Somebody read about it in Entertainment Weekly and saw the movie and went, wow, okay, I want to distribute this.
Okay.
Otherwise,
now, what does it take what does it take to get into one of those festivals?
You just submit it.
Okay.
You submit a copy of it. And I don't know if there's an entrance fee.
Mm-hmm.
but you just submit a copy to whatever delivery specifications that they have. And
so that's where a lot of eyeballs are. That's where a lot of distributors kind of keep an eye open to see, you know, what's hot, basically.
Yeah, like a lot of the big festivals. Like there's Cannes over in France, and if you don't want to go over to France, there's Sundance that Robert Redford started. There's a couple other ones. There's Slam Dance. There's one in Canada. And, you know, of course, there's all kinds of smaller ones. I know there's a horror indie film festival somewhere in the southeast, maybe.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Right.
I've been doing video games for a long time now. But there's if you just Google horror film festival, you'll probably get a billion hits. And just start submitting to whatever delivery spec they have. And, you know, that's not a guaranteed in into the festival. It's got to be good.
So the festival people will review the movie first, and then they'll decide, okay, this meets our quality specs. We'll go ahead and put this out there.
Exactly.
Now, Now here's my other question. I know you had more, but so let's say you get into one of these festivals. Let's say a distributor spots the film and decides they like it. They call you up. Do they then try to buy the rights to, to fully distribute and profit from the film, or is there usually like a profit sharing thing? How does it break down as far as the deals go?
Well, the contracts are going to vary. It's not like it's a standard. Oh, I'm sure there's kind of like a standard deal, but there's always contracts involved. Sometimes they'll just want to buy it outright for a certain amount of money. If the movie's really good, instead of just buying it outright, you may say, hey, I want X percentage of box office on this, or there might be some deal worked out to be able to, because if it's really good and there's already a buzz, you may make more doing that than if they just paid you $5 million for the thing. So,
right, and there might be such a buzz if you actually were shown at one of those film festivals and people really liked it. That might be how that buzz would get started. So I guess it really have to put your finger up in the air to some extent and kind of judge what's going on, because I can understand that being somebody like me who has no experience whatsoever, and I can't say I know how much experience the guys have that were making this particular independent film with distribution, but if somebody comes to me and I spent $5,000 making a film and they say, we'll give you $25,000 for it, that's an instant $20,000 profit. Whereas if you were to say, well, we'll take 20% of whatever it is you make on this, then you kind of have to trust those folks to be honest with you, don't you?
Yeah, but if it gets small distribution, like, select theaters, you call, like I had a friend that worked at New Line Cinema, and his job was to call all the theaters that, say, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King was playing at and get their numbers for the week. So it's really easy to keep tabs on the numbers, and so you know pretty much what's owed you within that contract.
So you have some way of checking things then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's a lot of it has to do with marketing as well, and creative marketing these days. I remember back in college, Blair Witch Project, I never saw a trailer for it, but all of a sudden all these people were talking about, did you see this thing, this website, and is it real, is it not? Kind of a thing.
What a piece of dreck. I did not like that movie, and you're right.
I loved him.
You did like
it? I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was pretty lame.
Bunch of kids walking through the woods going,
you saw it too, Julia?
I hate that movie.
It was puffed up as something that was so awesome and so unique, and it just didn't seem to have anything special to my view. But anyway.
I liked it from an audio perspective because you never saw any of the whatever it was. You just heard it. Anyway.
It's a low-budget technique. It's also generally a good editing technique to not reveal the monster until the very end, that kind of thing. That's usually not it's not a bad approach, just that there didn't seem to be too much that was entertaining for me. But you're right about the marketing on that movie. It was absolutely, whatever, the word of mouth was incredible with that film.
Yeah, so I think marketing is big, having a good website for the film. Because a lot of, even these, $100, $200 million features, their websites are garbage, and so if you can have a good website that gives you a little info on what it is, and it's kind of like really causes interest, that's really, really helpful. And if it's a zombie movie, I'm a zombie movie fan, so if it's a zombie movie, and there's a lot of people like me out there. A lot of us look past, like, production value and stuff. We just want to see zombies eating people's brains. And
so you must be looking forward to this, then.
I am, and I got to tell you, I'm kind of tempted to offer, you know, work doing sound design on it, because I've never done a zombie movie before. I've done other horror movies, but not zombie before.
Well, you might be able to reach out over at Think Twice News. I think it's thinktwicenews.com. There's probably a link to contact them over there, and I'm sure they'd appreciate any offer of assistance. And any other thoughts for us tonight?
Well, that's about it.
Thanks for the expertise. I appreciate hearing from you. It kind of helps paint the picture a little bit more for me about how possible it might be to market such an independent film. It would seem like it's a pretty competitive marketplace, too. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of money these days to do this stuff. I mean, you can get in and get yourself some pro-level or semi-pro-level equipment that is a fraction of what it would have been 10, 20 years ago. I mean, 20 years ago, it would have been possible to have something like as nice as what you can get for $4,000 today. And 10 years ago, probably would have been $40,000 for what you can pay $4,000 for. You can probably spend $25,000 or less and have an incredibly professional level amount of stable of equipment at your disposal. So considering the low cost of entry now for filmmaking, I'd imagine there's some pretty stiff competition, but then again, since the costs are lower, it's easier to make a profit. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can bring up anything. And toll-free number, 800-259-9231. Take control of the airwaves. This is Free Talk Live.
Attention, all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. varadio.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity
and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Are you constantly tired, have a hard time concentrating, experience muscle weakness, or have problems with digestion? The solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body. Liquid Zeolite, available only at RestoreYourHealthNow.com, captures toxins and physically carries them out of your body. This safe and effective way of detoxifying can easily remove heavy metals and contaminants. Studies show that Liquid Zeolite captures triggering antigens which cause allergies, migraines, and asthma, decreasing the rate and severity of these symptoms. Liquid Zeolite is a tasteless and odorless liquid that, when taken daily, supports a healthy, happy, and active lifestyle in an increasingly toxic world. And Liquid Zeolite is so gentle that you won't even know you're taking it. Although your list of ailments may be endless, the solution is simple. Try Liquid Zeolite for yourself by visiting RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Or call 1-800-976-0025. That's 1-800-976-0025 today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want if you dial in toll-free to the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. That again brought to you by SACL CAI. If you've got a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections, you need to know about SACL CAI. They do collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged off receivables. SACL's employees are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, but you'd like to keep your clients too. That's SACL CAI, and you can see their banner at the top of the banner column at freetalklive.com, SACL CAI. As we continue taking your phone calls about what you want, it's Ed in Georgia. Ed, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight, Ed?
Well, I had several questions, but the first one was, when is war or violence the answer?
I am moving closer and closer to saying never. Julia?
Never.
When is war or violence the answer?
Well, I would say I'm pretty close to never as well, and I would say no definitely to war. I do not oppose violence in situations of self-defense.
I don't oppose it myself. It's just that I don't know if it helps the situation.
Like World War II, for an example? What would you have done if you were supreme dictator? I know you wouldn't want to be supreme dictator of the United States, but if you were supreme dictator of the United States in World War II, what would you have done after Pearl Harbor?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't have ordered a financial blockade on Japan. I wouldn't have prevented American business owners from doing business with the Japanese. I wouldn't have prevented American oil sellers from selling oil to the Japanese, effectively cutting off their supplies to their country. So I think that kind of was a little saber-rattling that led to the inevitable, or what became the inevitable bombing of Pearl Harbor. So again, there was somebody that was in the office, the Oval Office there, that had intentions to get into that war, and that's why those things happened.
Okay, what about Poland in World War II? Poland, or England in World War II. Poland kind of got run over whether they wanted to or not, but
give me some details. What are you specifically referring to?
Would you have just tried to get Pete, like if you were if you were the King of England, like with full powers or whatever, would you have tried to sue for peace with Germany and just gone over, like just given them what they wanted, or
What was it they wanted? To take over, take control?
Take control and get money, troops, and resources for the rest of their wars.
I think, again, it's hard for me to fully embrace pacifism in the same way that I struggle with it for the same reason I think that Julia does. It's just, I think that if Britain, for instance, had followed the road of the Swiss, or the in Switzerland, rather, where each home has a firearm in it, that was enough to dissuade Hitler and his generals from coming in there. And I realize that wasn't the case in Great Britain, but it was the case in Switzerland, and that's why they were spared. So I think that being able to defend oneself is important, and having the ability to defend oneself does help keep the marauders away. So I think that's the best option. I don't think there should be any centrally controlled military or anything like that. I think that all defense should be done on a basis of individuals deciding for themselves what their appropriate level of involvement in defending oneself might be. It can range from pacifism to owning your own bazooka or your own tank or something like that. And if people are concerned about invasions and that sort of thing, then they should arm up. I think that in the United States today, there's a tremendous amount of gun ownership in most places, with the exception of certain urban centers. But in most places in the country, you're going to have a real tough time trying to occupy or to engage in a land war with the United States people, because they're well-armed. So I think having people being well-armed helps prevent the violence from happening in the first place.
All right.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does, for the most part. And also, what would you, if you were going to order military drawdowns in the United States, what would you do? I'm guessing you would just end the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and cut a lot of our military out, but how far would you take it?
Well, I don't think there should be a federal government. So, I mean, does that give you an answer? No, I don't think. I think that, yeah, of course, the military should come home, and then should be, you know, the nuclear weapons should be disbanded, and the tanks and all that other crap sold off to the highest bidder, and then dismember them or whatever the hell. Just end it. And the entire federal government. And then, like I said, let people come up with their own solutions in the marketplace for defending themselves. I know that people, when you talk about ending the military, they get all frightened and they'll say things like, well, we need the military to protect us from people around the world. Well, first of all, who's coming from around the world to try to invade the United States? If you wanted to come and invade the United States, there aren't really that many military people here, are there? I mean, they're mostly over in the Middle East. So do you remember when Hurricane Katrina happened and the military was sent here? They had to come here from all the way over in the Middle East, and it took them a few days to get to the Louisiana area and Mississippi area to actually respond in that case. So can you imagine if somebody decided to just send a bunch of bombers over here or whatever? They wouldn't have a tough time, I don't think. So there's not really anybody that wants to attack the United States, and they would not want to attack the United States even if there was no military, because it would be a very difficult proposition. Plus, the other thing that I want to point out is the military protects the government first and foremost. I know everybody has this kind of fantasy belief that the military would protect them and keep them safe if there was, you know, this red Chinese horde that was rolling over towards or boating towards California, that the military would work toward keeping people safe. And I believe that, you know, that may be true to some extent. But what the military is primarily interested in are protecting certain state targets, like, you know, the White House and the state capitals and things like that. They want to protect their bases. They're not so interested about your house at the end of the cul-de-sac. I mean, they're not really concerned about that. If they were concerned about things like that, then you wouldn't see them blowing those things up during wartime. They'd be very cautious about putting people out of their homes. But if there was some sort of Chinese threat to the United States, you can better believe that if it was convenient for them to, if they could kill a Chinese tank brigade by blowing up your house at the same time, you could kiss your house goodbye. So, I mean, the whole idea that they're protecting you is kind of fallacious. They're protecting their system. They're protecting their power. And you're just a pawn in that game. You're just someone to extract the wealth from so they can buy more toys and things like that. They have no obligation to protect you. If they destroy your stuff in the process of so-called protecting you, they have no obligation to, you know, pay you back or rebuild or do anything like that. Whether they will or not is another question, but they have no obligation to. So, again, in a market paradigm of protection, each individual or each company gets to decide for themselves what level of protection is appropriate for them that they want to hire. And if you hire a protection agency that guarantees that they will protect you on so-and-so of a basis and they'll reimburse you later on if they do any damage, you could actually have a contract. You could actually have it all spelled out, all of the details about, you know, what it is that you are to expect from these people in the event of some awful attack. But remember, if there was no U.S. military, and if there was no federal government, what would the Chinese or whoever the evil specter is, the North Koreans, what would they attack?
Well, they could sort of take us apart piece by piece if they felt like it. Cause,
how? What would they target?
That's a good question. I guess they just, they get sort of like an Iraq situation for themselves.
Exactly. It would be like that. Right, Americans aren't going to just let people occupy them the same way the Iraqis are not letting people occupy them. They're fighting back. They're using IEDs. They're killing the American troops that are over there. And you know, they're just defending their property. So you can't blame them for that. So the same thing would happen here. And if there's no federal government with certain military bases and installations to be targeted with essentially an existing control apparatus to take over, then there's no purpose to attacking the United States. What are your spoils going to be? You don't get to take over the government because there is no government to take over. You don't get to seize control of the military apparatus because there is no more military apparatus. Again, we're talking about this fantasy utopian world where there's no federal government anymore. I think someday we'll probably get to that point when it collapses underneath its own weight in the same way the Soviet Union, or in a similar way that the Soviet Union did in the past. But if you think about it, if there's no federal government, everything's diffuse. There's nothing that's a direct target. You could say, well, they'll nuke everybody. Well, if they do that, then they can't actually collect any spoils. There's nothing left for them at that point. So if they wanted to nuke everybody, they could just go ahead and do that today.
What about, what would you do about individuals having nukes? Because, like, you know, if I got my hands on one, I could really... If you had the family atomics, like in Dune type thing.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, when you talk about these issues of the free marketplace and marketizing things, people have to go to the extreme, the absurd, to even make a point against it. I mean, it's pretty ludicrous to suggest that somebody was just going to get their hands on a nuke. I mean, we've even heard that the whole suitcase nuke specter is totally false. There is no real such thing out there. So I don't know how easy that process would be, and I don't know how your neighbors would feel about that. Thanks. More coming up. Hour 3's on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Notorious space pirate Phoebus Crumb had retired to a frontier world, only to see it destroyed by raiders. Now, Crumb is given a new ship, a new crew, and a dangerous new mission. Infiltrate deep within enemy territory and destroy a deadly dreadnought that threatens the balance of galactic power. Follow the illustrated adventures of L. Neil Smith's Phoebus Crumb online now at bigheadpress.com/PK.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.